Aloha, many, many blessings. I do believe Taylor is with us today.
Indeed I am.
Wonderful, wonderful. Here we are once again, sending you lots of love from sunny Sedona. I've just arrived here a few days ago, getting settled. It's a fantastic place. Just had a beautiful hike this morning. And, yeah, it's been really full on, so I'm kind of absorbing the wonder of it all. And I'm very happy to be on the call. How are you doing, Taylor?
Kind of in recovery mode from the, eclipse this past weekend. Still getting my wits about me, gathering my wits.
Yeah.
Shift point there. But otherwise, fantastic. And then I'm back once again in our nation's capital, having just received the Pope here last week.
How wonderful. That's fantastic. Yeah, it has been extremely intense few days. I feel like I'm recovering from it as well, quite frankly. It's been so intense the last few days, good lord. So here we are, we're still here, we made it. And, excited to be here, very intense time. So, if anyone has any thing you'd love to share on the call, we have lots of people on the call today, feel free to raise your hand, and we'd love to hear from you. What's going on? What's new and different? How can we be of greatest service to you?
Yeah, we'd also love to hear from those of you who had guests, or those of you who may have guests this time, but in particular, those of you who had guests the last couple calls. We'd love to hear your feedback from your guests. How was it for them to be on the call? You know, and just what kind of difference that made, because we were really excited about opening up to guests, but we'd love to get some feedback on that if any of you would care to share that are on the call that had guests on our last two calls.
Absolutely. Yeah, we'd love to hear from you because CBO training, we're encouraging you to bring your friends, bring your guests. Connect with others, you know. If you're not sharing what you learn, then it doesn't go deep as much. You know, it kind of stays on a more superficial level. When you share, when you go out there and serve others and express, you get huge benefit yourself, and of course you end up helping all those people around you. There's no doubt millions of people who need help right now. So you have so many opportunities. We'd love to hear your experience. We got someone who's just raised their hand. Let's just see who this is. Aloha. Who's there?
Aloha, this is Greg.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good, thank you. How are you going?
Hey, great to hear your voice.
Likewise.
Fantastic.
I was just wondering whether you could provide some tips, because since doing this course, I'm becoming more aware of things. And when I'm out and about at, you know, like-minded functions and things like that, there's so many people that would be able to talk to, but if you go back a couple of weeks before I started this course, I probably wouldn't have even crossed my mind to have the confidence to go up to them and speak to them. Whereas now I'm sort of playing on that a bit, but I was just wondering what sort of tips you might be able to give me to kind of give me a bit more confidence to be able to, you know, just go out and blurt things out and speak to people.
Great question. Taylor doesn't appear to have any problems with this. What do you think, Taylor?
So just to be clear, so you're asking tips on how to go out and share about the superhero training in a unabashed sort of fashion. Is that what I'm hearing?
A bit of both, Taylor. Yeah. So it's sort of just to be able to talk to people openly that you've never met before, but you know you're going to have a connection with anyway, so you kind of trust your gut on that. And plus, if you're in an environment, so say even you know, vegan or food festival or health food or something like that, you know the people sitting next to you are going to be pretty much in line with what you are, just simply because of the fact that they're there. You know, like you say about the container of the superhero training, there's a container there. We're all here for, you know, whatever reason we've chosen to be here right now. And, yeah, and then also being aware of the fact that now that I am doing this course, that I am making the shift willingly, it's just to how to sort of break the ice with people and, you know, actually speak rather than just sitting in the room taking information home and not actually speaking to the people in the room, because half the reason of, you know, I don't understand if you're having the live calls is so we can all interact with each other and have more confidence within our own communities and to grow them.
Right. Well, for me personally, I find what I like to do right off the bat, the minute I get with anybody, even like-minded, unlike-minded, it doesn't matter, is I like, you know, I just kind of start off by asking them, what are they interested in? What are they up to? What are they passionate about? What's their, like, dream and vision? What's their mission? What are they working on? You know, what are they, wanting to, manifest? I mean, this, I recognize this is about 20 different things I'm telling you all right here, but.
And you want to write that all down, yeah. I just want to say that. You want to write that down. Like, every single one of those was just a fantastic opening. Every one of them. This is just like gorgeous 20 in a row. Any one of them would do the job, you know, so you might want to make a note.
And then, you know, within a few moments, that expression to, if you want to be interesting, be interested. But I'm just naturally interested anyways. You know, I just want to, as soon as I see someone, I just want to know what's their unique expression and passion, because we know it's there, and people do love to talk about it, and so that's usually a good, as you said, icebreaker, but more than that, what happens once they start to share is it's the openings for you to contribute or share what you're up to come quite naturally that way. You know, you'll see them right after another. And so I just kind of let it evolve on its own course, simply by just having, being interested and discovering who they really are. And it really does always unfold. And then sooner or later, the opening occurs where they'll either ask you or, you know, it's just something they'll say, like they're really into their spiritual growth, or who the heck knows what they'll say. Well, it doesn't matter, because they could pretty much anything they say, what you're up to is a perfect complement to anything, including, I don't really have much going on at all in my life. Well, then it's like, oh, really? Well, you know, I didn't either, but until recently when I, you know, found this great program and blah, blah. You know what I mean? Like the truth of the matter is that, like-minded or not, whatever they say, when you really shine your radiant awareness on another with the intention to really know and appreciate and hear them, will be an opening for you to contribute. And I know I'm talking in sweeping terms here, but I think you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing is it's just the confidence thing in the first instance anyway. So, and that's again why I was talking about, you know, breaking the ice with people when you've never met them before, or at least not in this life anyway. And, you know, not knowing how they're going to react as well, is probably a lot of anticipation there. You know.
Well, that's the other thing right there, what you just said, is to keep in mind that we are all one. So in a way, there is no breaking the ice ever. We're all one. And you know, that's really the basis of the whole the Landmark Forum, you know, which I led for years as a seminar leader, and that the basis of that is how that whole forum works is that one person can stand up and share something that's going on in their life. And all the forum leader needs to do is interact with one person, and the whole room will benefit. Mm-hmm. And if no one else ever shares up, stands up, doesn't matter, because we're all the same. We all, at the heart and soul and core of a human being is we're all, we all can share that same, we all have the same dreams, passions, hope, all those things are all, just make up all of humanity, so to speak. And so, there is never really, truly any breaking the ice, Greg. I mean, I just want to say that right off the bat. You're already related. And that's useful to know, so you aren't kind of feeling like, oh, you know, what am I going to do? I don't really know this person. Well, okay, you do. You really do know that person because they're you. Just a different version of you, you know, with their own unique passions and soul. But that puts you light years ahead right there. If you give up the idea that you have to break the ice and or you don't really know this person. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. Yeah, no, absolutely. Because, I mean, I find that when I do break ice, well, sorry, if you're taking that away because we're all one, as soon as we start talking and we're into a conversation, then that's fine. But it was just that anticipation of going from sitting there as another person in the room listening to a facilitator to actually blurting out something, whatever comes to mind. And, you know, it was more anticipating the reaction as well from the other person, because they might think, oh, this guy's too far into it, he's this, he's that, or whatever it is. And it's the fear of the judgment.
Well, let me just to comment on that, you know, here's a real good piece. The truth shall set you free. And so all you need to do truly is speak what's true for you in that moment. And it might be something like, you know, I'm really feeling inspired by this guy, you know, or, you know, whatever you're feeling in that moment, just to even speak that to another is enough. And then there, because you're so authentic and speaking your truth, it gives them the opening to speak their own.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
And that, it could just be as simple as that. You're just sharing whatever you're present to in the moment when you happen to be in the space of another. Whatever it is. I mean, it could even be like, oh, isn't that a fantastic sunset? I mean, you know, whatever it is. I don't know, but...
Yeah.
In other words, Greg, you don't need to work at it, Greg, really. Don't have it be pleasurable, simple, and joyful, and just be in your truth, and you can't go wrong. You can't fail, really.
That's right. And you don't have to worry about what you're going to say as well. There's that beautiful quote when Jesus was sending out all the disciples, and they were like, well, what are we going to say? I'll tell you what to say when you get there. And you just inspired. It's inspiration. And now we're living in inspiring times, and the whole thing's changed right now. And people are yearning for this. It's going to get easier and easier and easier and easier and easier. People are yearning for this. 20 years ago, 10 years ago, even 5 years ago, you were like a weirdo. But now it's just like, no, 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 everyone's coming to the party. So don't worry about it. Just speak your truth and allow yourself to be moved by the mystery. Let yourself be moved from inspiration instead of, you know, getting yourself uptight because you, you know, whatever, you know, just, it'll all come through. It melts, and it melts a lot easier. This whole, you know, this thing about breaking the ice, well, the ice is being melted by massive irresistible forces right now. And all that ice,
yeah,
it's an illusory thing anyway, of just a little shift of the ego crust and the ego illusion, just that little reorientation of consciousness, and there's that whole ocean underneath. And that's where we all want to get to, and more and more and more people are being, you know, really being crushed now, and all of that surface stuff is being, it's just being melted, and so it's a really good time for us.
And the one thing I'll just mention is that most people are highly insecure and hoping no one notices that they're insecure, right? And so if you think, you know, I'm going to feel confident, they're thinking the same thing. They're like, oh, I wonder what this person's going to think about me. They're on the other side, yeah? And even if you say something like, you know, I'm feeling a bit awkward, that at least, like, that, like, this transparency. People just want to connect, you know. So I would, it's kind of as you, you know, you're already doing it, by the way, so I just want to, you know, acknowledge you for coming on the call. You're the first person to raise your hand, first person to be here. So you're already doing it, actually. So I think it's just onwards and upwards from here, really.
It's funny because the stuff that, you know, if I want to speak it, you know, it doesn't really matter where it is as well, is that so many times it's inside me and sort of screaming to come out. So I really want to say something and, you know, I feel I can contribute to something or even just start a dialogue with somebody. And up until, well, really this point, there's been so many opportunities where I could have said something where I haven't. So I think that's they're very, very good tips as in understanding now that, you know, it's not breaking the ice. The ice is melting. Because I just feel that there's so many more opportunities, even from the first module, you know, putting it into context on the superhero training. I got so much just from the first video alone that there's enough dialogue inside me now that just wants to blurt things out.
People are just like wanting it, man. So just to do them a favor and just like share from your heart, you know. And frankly, you know, there'll be maybe 1% of the people will think maybe you're a little bit strange, but everyone else will be just super warm to you. So, you know, the interesting thing with conversation is that all conversations are kind of mystical and magical. Like, we come on these calls every couple of weeks. None of us have the slightest idea at all what we're going to talk about whatsoever every single time for years and years and years. And yet, every week, this magic comes out and it's just such ease and grace. And we're not trying to do anything, yeah? Because it just happens by itself. So the same way, we're not sort of some special magic people. We're just like aware of things and we're just, you know, open to it.
Mm-hmm.
So all you do is you just show up like open heart, open soul, and you just let it come out. Be the witness. Watch the wonder happening as a witness. You know, superhero training, we're always talking about that higher consciousness, soul consciousness, stepping back and being the witness of your personality, yeah, your persona. And you'll just see just effortlessly things will just flow through you with such ease and grace. And then afterwards, you'll be like, oh, that was fun. I wonder what happened there. That was kind of weird. It was fun.
Yeah, and also I've just spent a lot of time just clearing, I would say stuff. Really is a, I know it's a small word to use, but everything from, you know, within the house, inside, outside. But then I'm noticing that even in the workplace as well, I'm just clearing backlog. These first couple of weeks of the training have really shown me just how suffocated I was as well. And I think just this conversation, how I started talking about, you know, not really having the confidence to speak to people, it's all part of all these stuff that I've suffocated myself in, and I feel now that things are starting to open up and it will really, you know, make to the surface and, you know, disposing of what I don't need anymore, that it's also bringing a lot of the bad stuff up at the same time as well. So I'm kind of, you know, a bit like a yo-yo at the moment as well, where, I mean, I know I'm staying focused, so there's no dispute about that, but it's just the fact that as much as you let go of, you know, I don't know, whether it's possessions or old beliefs or whatever they were, it does sort of hit, you know, through the glass ceiling where you just think, oh my God, where did that come from? Where did that come from? And I find that that's happening more and more every day as well with me. And it's, I mean, I'm aware of it, which is a good thing. I probably wasn't expecting it, is probably the thing that I wanted to share more than anything.
Yeah, it's a wild ride right now, brother.
Yeah, wild ride, that's right.
Oh, my goodness. We're all feeling it, mate. Don't worry about that. It's the knife edge. We're on the knife edge right now, yeah. It's like, what I've been finding is, as long as I'm in my heart, like deep heart-centered and high consciousness, everything is sweet as. As soon as I go into my mind, oh my God, it's unbelievable. And this last few days, you know, with the eclipse and all that moon energy and God knows what else going on, it was out of control. And I'm watching people around me, like I'm talking about people with years and years and years and years of experience on this path. And in teacher, healer, mentor positions in their lives, very successful business people that have built a whole career on being teachers, healers, and whatnot, absolutely melting down, like completely melting down. Like one girl the other day, 19 hours solid, crying, sobbing, shaking, just releasing so much. Another guy over 2 or 3 days, same thing. And, you know, it's this whole business of transformation, letting go, you know, it's very, very real. And it's soul-shattering stuff. And every layer, the emotional body, every layer of the mind, all of the vibrations you know, thought and word and action that we're carrying within us that are disharmonic, all of that, the deeper layers, the ancestral stuff, you know, the family stuff, the genetic stuff. I mean, we're talking about processing extraordinary psychic content here, just phenomenal amounts of energy where we're being called to process, and it's extremely challenging and, you know, utterly overwhelming at times for everyone, no matter what, you know, what anyone, brave-faced anyone is putting on. There's moments we're all experiencing, you know, just to the point of excruciating and utter overwhelm. But it can begin and end in a second and be completely done in a second, or, you know, it might last longer, whatever. But what I'm saying is it's like a knife edge now, yeah? So we just need to be, you know, gentle with ourselves and just, it's always bringing us to that place where we're just letting go and disassociating from our persona and just observing the process, being a witness to it, not being, you know, driven by these impulses, urges, and these strange feelings, whether they be fear or whatever they are. And yeah, it's fun and games. We're learning to really deal with our own power, and it seems to be going very, very fast right now.
I did a transmission. I'm going to be sending it out shortly from that event. And in essence, really, nothing is the same anymore. And so there is no, essentially, we've crossed the line of demarcation whereby we aren't the same people. We aren't living in the same world.
Mm-hmm.
It's that simple.
Mm-hmm.
And the world we're living in now is one wholly based on love. Period.
Mm-hmm.
That's the operating principle. And anything that's inconsistent with that is breaking down. And that's why, like Nick said, he can't be in his ego for a few minutes. And he's like, wow. I mean, he feels like he's going to, like, completely combust. Well, that's what's happening. Anything that's inconsistent with the highest possible vibration of love, which, by the way, a love that we've never known in all time, the love that's now available to all of us, none of us have ever experienced. And so you just want to open to that and really, you know, really, this is what's occurring. It's going to shake things up deeply. And because we're the ones that are really leading the way, anyone that's on this call is leading the way. And in a lot of ways, it's going to affect us even more so. Because we kind of signed on for this deal. That's what we came in to do. That's why everyone in the superhero training said, yeah, man, not only am I a superhero, but I'm all about service. And that's it. Those are the two keynotes that got you here. And those keynotes are never going to change, but now the being of service is all about holding this new vibration of love, discovering it for ourselves, trying to find our own way to balance with it. You know, it's a big space. Huge, huge, huge space.
Yeah. And it's a mystery that's been revealed in us. That's one of the most beautiful scriptures you'll ever read anywhere in any text, anywhere at all. The mystery of love is revealed through us. That's what's happening. That's from one of Paul's books in the Bible. And the mystery of love is being revealed through us. We don't know anything about it. We do in our essence. We know in the knowingness, but the manifestations of it and the expression of it. And it's a transformational energy. It's a living truth. And it's a transformational energy that literally transforms us on every level of our being, through the genetics, through the cellular structure. Everything is changed, transformed. And it's real, you know, it's real. And this is like, it's such a relief. It's like, yes, life really is this wonderful. Life really is this magical. It's all starting to make sense. It's absolutely the best ever. Beyond that. And we are the living bridges. Check this out. We are the living bridges, the physical human bridges between that old bullshit thing and the new. And we're bridging it in through our own biology, through our own consciousness. And it's an extraordinary privilege to be alive in these times, to be able to do that. But all of this intensity, when it gets like really ramping up, it's because, you know, we're being transformed, we're being transmuted. You know, huge swaths of consciousness, of stagnant, old, outdated energy formations and coding sequences and goodness knows what else within us and our cells are all dying off. It's all been sloughing away and dropping off. And you can feel this, you know, this death and stagnancy and all this stuff just leaving you, and the liberation of that. And it's the most wonderful thing. And because we are servants, we're here to serve humanity, because we are, you know, more awake than a lot of people are, the karmic load and the ancestral load is pouring through us. So it's not just our stuff that we're processing, which is, you know, we can get over and do that really quickly because it's relatively shallow. But when you get into the parents and the grandparents and the ancestral soul matrix content, which is, you know, vast and deep, and that goes into humanity's stuff, into our cultural stuff. And then when you look at, I study the gene keys a bunch. You look at the mythical wounds, the racial wounds, the cultural wounds, the earth wounds that we're processing as well. And there's vast amounts of energies flowing through us, like a river sometimes, just to be come into the light of consciousness, and that's what purifies it. So it's, you know, it really is a tremendous privilege, and it behooves us to really embrace the full magnitude of it. And like Taylor was saying, you know, the whole thing's changed now. It's a different world, a different time, and we're different beings. And so part of that is seeing everything from a much bigger perspective, much larger, embracing it from soul consciousness rather than ego consciousness, which is myopic in comparison.
That's right. With each and every thought we have, we've got to just naturally shift gear to a huge, huge perspective. And then we'll actually be in the ballpark of where we are. And that's a really good way to look at it. Like, you know, have a thought and then in your next thought think, okay, if I'm God, what would I think?
Because one of the things that's happening to me as well is that when you're talking about the ancestors, at first it was more of a feeling state, whereas now I'm getting visuals as well, whether it be, you know, doing the Angel Qigong practice in particular has really brought a lot of this stuff to the surface, where not only do I feel their presence or feel them releasing and letting go or communicating through me in some way, but I'm actually starting to see things like, you know, the stars. I get a vision of stars, but not just a bright stars that you'd see out in the sky, doesn't matter where you are. They're actually stars shining so, so bright now that it's like, if I was to describe it in words, I probably couldn't find the words to put it. But the pictures or the visions that I'm seeing now are just so incredibly bright. I think it goes beyond the imagination. And then one of the others, probably another extreme case, was the letting go component of the training. And I remember looking within, and I could see this myself transforming into an eagle, this beautiful white eagle just looking up at me from my heart. And then my whole body transformed into this, like, widespread span of eagle, and which was just pure white. So it's not like an eagle that you could say you could point to in the forest or the jungle or anything like that. Whether that means it's something to do with the imagination or whether there is a lot more out there, I'm just noticing that I'm not only feeling, but now I'm actually seeing lots and lots and lots of this every day. And when you say that things are ramping up, I'm definitely experiencing that, for the positive, of course.
Yeah, that's great you brought that up, because one of the things that happened with this shift with the eclipse is that all the latent gifts that all of us have, which really we there wasn't kind of room for because we were busy being in our heads and who the heck knows what. Now that all that's cleared, and like you were saying, gosh, I'm just so busy clearing. Yeah, essentially we've been clearing our whole lives up until Sunday. And that's it. Boom. And now we have the space and room and abilities and opening to be able to now open to receive the whole new gifts and resources and talents that we just can't even imagine. And that's the other thing I encourage everyone to also be open to discovering. There's all these skills, really superhero abilities and skills that we can now easily master, easily just obtain simply by desiring such. It's no longer some big, I got to do this and that at all. It's instantaneous manifestation of these desires and gifts. And so you really want to open to, wow, okay, what are the new gifts that I have? Because I'm ready for them now. Bring them on. I'm ready for them.
And so that's why now I'm starting to keep like a pen and paper or something handy now, because so many things have been manifested or downloaded that it's just incredible. This is, you know, it could be anywhere. Just spontaneously, things are just coming into my head, or I'm seeing things, or everything's thinking up.
That's right, and that's that. And this has happened many, many times. This is where Michelangelo was going nuts, painting the tops of churches. You know, every time there was a great awakening for humanity, they had that kind of vision and insight you're talking about. And this has happened many times on the planet, but now the vision and opening that we all have is there ain't no, like, see in heaven through the clouds. We're living in it. We're living in heaven. It's for it. It's all about us now. And that's the big difference between us and all these other visionaries throughout the centuries.
Yeah.
We're living now in the time that they were seeking and just getting glimpses of.
Yeah, this is a really important point we're getting into now, right? What Taylor just mentioned. This notion of bringing heaven to earth is a shift in consciousness. And as we really start living, you know, this truth, this living truth, and allowing this all-transforming love to move us and express through us, that's what, you know, transforms the world, because it's always human beings that are transforming the world, whether they're doing it on purpose or they're not. And it's all happening through us. And life is perfectly designed to support that. It's absolutely perfectly designed to support that, not hinder it, not prevent it, not do any of that whatsoever. It's totally benevolent. And we just got, sidetracked into this egotistical, materialistic, competitive, patriarchal, violent, super dysfunctional, disharmonious period of human expression, just because we gave our power away to, the people we were giving our power away to. And we got ourselves into a little bit of bother there. But now that's all changing, and you're going to see it. It's just going to gather more and more and more and more momentum. But the thing is not to be concerned too much about what other people are doing and what other people believe, even this, that, and the other, is to really spiral into your own truth. I'm talking to everyone here on this call. To really spiral into your own truth, and before you, get tooting your horns too much and running around, wanting to change the world and change people, really spiral into your own truth and really get a hold of who you really are. And find how good that feels. And how much peace there is in there. And really go for the peace. There's a lovely quote from A Course in Miracles that there's no love without peace. And there's no peace without love. And if you really go for the peace, what you'll bring to anyone's world is something that they yearn for more than anything, is this peace. There's two things. This is what I call my work, freedom and peace. After years and years and years of working with people, I realized that basically underneath everything, that's really what people want. They just want to live in their own freedom to be themselves, and they want to live in peace. And that peace is the foundation of everything. And it's the foundation of miracles, it's the foundation of absolutely everything. And if you've got that, if you've uncovered that within you, it's not something you've developed. It's something that is revealed from within you, because we are beings of peace, just the same as we are beings of love. And the peace is kind of like the thing that the love is in.
Mm-hmm.
And as you uncover that, there's an intricate, deeply intimate, exquisitely detailed process that you go through that is uniquely yours. And as you become more and more and more aware of that, the details of that and the subtlety of it all, you're able, through that sensitivity, to navigate through your own complexities of your own psyche to the ground of your being, what I call the ground of your being. And it's a much deeper place than the ego. The ego is very shallow. It doesn't really have any roots at all. It just spins around on the surface. And in the egos of this 21st century or whatever we're in, they are extremely knowledgeable. It's, the information age has had its heyday. It's, peaked, a little while ago, where it's just information saturation. You can Google up information on anything and get knowledge on anything. And you can be an absolute fountain of knowledge about any subject in the history of humanity, or multiple subjects in the history of humanity. But does it do any good? If you go to, a gathering or something, and you join this conversation, and you just blah, 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 and in there with everybody else who's blah, 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 and adding more information to people that are already in information overload. And really and honestly, it doesn't do any good. It's just like decoration on the Christmas tree. So what we're into personally as facilitators on this training, and what the training is all about, is depth. So that you can come from a place within you where you access a living truth, which is like a fount of wisdom, a fountain of peace, a fountain of love, a fountain of truth from within you. And as you walk forward in life, from the ground, living from the ground of your being, every step you take, every breath you take, every conversation you have, every thought you think, every action you take, every feeling you feel, in other words, the way you live your life from that place, what it does is allows that process to integrate. And what that means is that it starts to fill all your cells and it starts to seep into your subconscious and your unconscious, fill your genetics, and it allows you to become an embodiment of wisdom. Wisdom is the application of knowledge over time and the harvest of that. So when I was saying, you know, don't worry too much about what other people are thinking, and don't go blowing your trumpets too much about all these things that you're just learning about. Spiral into yourself and find this peace and find this depth and get in there and understand very clearly the way you got there. Journal every day and be exquisitely detailed about chronicling your own intimate process. And then as you integrate that, that becomes your wisdom. And that's really what you're qualified to speak about, what you're qualified to teach, what you're qualified to share. And because it's a living truth that you embody, you actually don't have to say very much at all in order to impact people's lives in the deepest, most powerful way. And Einstein told us that transformation, you know, like real healing and solution to problems, isn't affected on the level of cause, of the level of, excuse me, of the level of effect. It's not, we can't actually solve any problems on the same level that problem is at. We have to go to a higher level of consciousness, a deeper level of consciousness in order to do that. And we can embody that. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be living, walking embodiments of that deeper, higher living truth. And it exudes as peace, a peaceful, loving being.
Yeah.
I don't want to get to peace. Yeah. Yes, brother. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. You know, Nick said something there very powerful about depth. You know, and when you think about depth, there's another word that comes with depth, and it sounds very similar, and it's the word death. Death.
Yeah.
You can't have one without the other. First, you have to die. Be willing to die, which basically literally means be willing to die. And once you're willing to die, then you can have some death. So you have to be able to face your fears. And literally, I'm not joking here. Imagine actually physically dying. If I do this practice on a regular basis, just imagine there's a door. And imagine if I walk out that door, I leave my body completely and I can't come back again. Am I going to go through it or not? Yeah. As soon as you think about that, then you start to see if there's any attachments, any fears, any worries. And then on the other side of that door is a profound and extremely deep, powerful and endless constant state of peace. And so much ease and grace. You know, and from that ease and grace, it's extremely easy to manifest it. And, you know, naturally, when it comes to, you know, talking to people and doing stuff, it's really, really, really fascinating. Life becomes extremely interesting because, on the one hand, there's the ego mind. The ego mind is trying to figure out what's going on and actually can't understand why things are happening. But then on a deeper level, things are just happening perfectly exactly the way they're meant to be. So what happens is you start to notice yourself doing stuff, and you can't understand why you're doing it. But then afterwards, you realize that it was just fantastic. You know? Like, I'll give you an example. Like, we've just found this amazing house, and we just saw this car and all these cool things, like, within a few days, like, 2 days. But I've been watching myself kind of doing it without really doing it. It's really kind of bizarre. But, you know, stuff like that happens all the time. But it's just funny, the mind doesn't understand why we do things. So the more you die, the more you're willing to just let it go, let it go, let it go. The more you can come into that peace that Nick was just talking about, Taylor was talking about, the love. And then you can watch the wonders happening. And then when it comes to the conversations and all these things that we were talking about earlier, it's really not even a question. It just kind of happens all by itself.
So it's still a matter of really just still letting go and trusting.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I tell you, my mantra.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah, I'll just give you this little mantra. I find it, like, endlessly powerful every day, over and over again. I am surrendered to the highest good for all, with ease and grace. I am surrendered to the highest good for all, with ease and grace. Right? It's so powerful. And really what it does, if you really like it, like are willing to embody that and really like go into that fully, like lean into it, like die and be reborn in that, what it does is it destroys anxiety. All anxiety is completely destroyed. And then after that, you're left with a profound sense of peace. So I'm surrendered to the highest good of all with ease and grace. Any of us can do this, you know, it's nothing special really. It's just a matter of being willing to embody it. So that's really all it is.
And being aware, I think, as well, because it's so easy when you talk about the ego mind to just kind of get caught up in it, even though you know it's there. And that's probably the part that I struggle with most, is the fact that, you know, you're thinking something and you know you shouldn't be anyway, because it doesn't really serve you. And it's probably just the letting go and then trusting, which would really get you through. But sometimes it takes a while before you actually realize, oh, it's so simple. But for whatever reason, the ego mind surfaces so often because it's in the forefront in this society that you just get stuck. And then you realize, and then you think, back again to, you know, I kind of think that if it takes you, you know, I'm in my 40s, so it took me 40 years to get to where I am today, I can't really expect to just let go totally and think everything's going to be 100% from here on. So it's, it's everyone's at their own pace, we're all unique, so I guess we just keep going.
Yeah, and it's the trust and surrender is kind of like a background atmosphere. Yeah, that's your general theme for moving forward. You hit it right the nail right on the head there when you said that. That's the key theme, I would say, above all else, that just came through in this moon, is absolute trust and surrender. Because like Taylor was saying, you know, it is the unknown, and it's so vastly different. It's requiring immense trust and surrender. So that's kind of like your background default attitude that you're installing over and over and over and over and over. But it's kind of like a yin, you know, receptivity. But there's also a yang, you know, more, you know, proactive, kind of a more masculine warrior kind of attitude that you can have. And, you know, we talk a lot about this in the superhero training. In the form of the Sanskrit word called nischay, where you're, you know, you have this burning sense of self. And, you know, especially for a man, it's really important that we pick up our swords. It's really important for the men not to become too feminine. You need a burning sword as a warrior in this world to be able to stand and literally cut the bullshit within your own self, just because you've been thinking these thoughts for so many years, or just because you're, you know, momentarily overwhelmed by all of this bullshit that's going on in your mind, doesn't even mean you have to entertain it. There's two things. Number one is, just because you're listening to nonsense in your head, and you might be identified with that as your own thoughts, as you know, your mind, or this is you. You can't help that. Your responsibility doesn't kick in until you become aware that you're thinking, that you're thinking these thoughts or feeling these feelings, these urges, these impulses or whatever. When, if you're, you know, that's when your responsibility, kicks in. And then, it's all about what action do you take then, as soon as you become aware of that. What action do you take, and then how long does it take you, to get yourself out of that, inner turmoil or that inner chaos or fear or negativity or whatever it is. And the time factor kind of determines how masterful you become. Like someone who doesn't really know anything about what I'm talking about here, they would just, you know, hear these thoughts in their head. They think, you know, they'd just be thinking these things, that they're thinking these thoughts, that it's them thinking these thoughts, and therefore, you know, it's their thoughts, and therefore they, you know, they, it's their right. They're thinking these thoughts and they're right. So let's say they're being self-critical and self-judgmental towards themselves, getting down on themselves, yeah, and they're just pecking away at themselves, giving them, sticking the knife into themselves again over and over and over like they have been doing for years. Well, this is just me, you know, I you know, this is what I do. Well, you're, on the other end of the spectrum there, a spiritual warrior or someone that's approaching, you know, mastery and the different degrees of mastery would immediately become aware that there's negative feelings, negative energy, and negative thought forms beginning to form in the mind, and they would immediately become aware of that, and immediately the warrior protecting energy would get activated, and immediately there would be action taken to kill this fucking thought. And that is what the Buddhists call the swift and merciless blow of compassion. The swift and merciless blow of compassion. That's an oxymoron. The swift and merciless blow of compassion. Because compassion is all about mercy. But it's having no mercy for entertaining this thing, and mercy for yourself to liberate yourself from it, because you don't need it. You don't need to hear this or feel these feelings. So the thing is that's where you need a little bit of some wildfire energy. So I like to clap my hands. I'm really into clapping my hands, and because I do a lot of Qigong, I can bring a lot of energy into one single clap and absolutely kill any negative thought immediately, and then just go into, you know, I just do that little angel Qigong move, and it just puts me into, you know, an extremely high state of consciousness instantaneously. And I can do that, you know, in a millisecond now. But if I'm just laying around in bed, just letting that thing go round and round and round and round around my brain, in a few seconds it's going to be absolutely, you know, possessing me and driving me insane. So you can take, you know, you need some kind of like fire energy. And what I've been witnessing, I've been working a lot with women with rage just lately. And what I've been seeing is that if you move out of non-linear containers in order to express this rage, if you move out of the normal human way of expressing into embodying a wild animal. So what I do is I ask them, what creature do you you resonate most strongly with? What if you could have like a guardian animal spirit with you all the time, what would it be? And they'll say things like tigers or jaguars or, you know, some kind of fierce cat. So a lot of women with this kind of stuff going on will identify with some kind of fierce cat energy. And then I'll just get them down on the floor in my garden here in Bali. And we'll just start roaming around doing fierce cat energy, growling and snarling and really getting into it, like full embodiment of this wild animal. And we'll stand up, we'll run around, we'll jump around and shred things with our claws and just really get into this thing. And I'm telling you, it is absolutely astonishing what emotional release that can trigger. Like I had a girl, admittedly I've been working with her, you know, for a couple of months now, but she came round. She was really triggered. There was rage there, frustration. I got her doing this, and she just shredded for about 30 seconds or something, and just got into this growling for 30 seconds, really roaring and growling. And then she was just broken down sobbing, and she's literally sobbed her heart and soul out for 2.5 hours. And instead of letting her just be in her misery and, story associated with that, I just guided her into using her voice to sing her soul song, to give a vibrational tone to the grief and the sorrow that she was releasing. And so that distances you from your human story thing, yeah? You can see that, yeah, when you do a vibrational sound that doesn't have any story associated with it, when you become a wild animal that doesn't have any story associated with it, and, you know, in terms of why you're angry or why you're frustrated or why you have rage or anything like this. So, again, it's creating this distance, this space between the ego's, you know, feeding itself, incessant feeding itself with its story, its story, its story, and being trapped in there. So what my point is that if you want to really break through, like Taylor was saying, you can have instant manifestation, and it is instant. If you know how to just smash this thing that you're in, and the trust and surrender is one thing, but this command of your own energy using unorthodox strategies is another one that's absolutely wonderful for just, destroying an old prison, really. It's something, you know, it's like a hell. It's a living hell. You know, people, you know, there's these voices and these things that are being projected into mind. There's all kinds of things that are being implanted into us through thought conditioning and vibrational goodness knows what else. And it's in our bodies, it's in our minds, it's in our cellular structures, in our DNA. But we have command over it all. Consciousness has command over it all, no matter what it is. You know, people can grow arms back and legs back. They literally, there's like, you know, records of people losing their arms and legs, and they just grow them back because they will it to happen. So we, you know, consciousness is absolute master over all phenomena and form, including the physical body and all manifestations of creation. But we have to, you know, command it. And using your voice as well, I've been doing this a lot just lately, just absolutely cutting all cords with all pain bodies, with all suffering bodies, with all negative thought forms, with anything and everything that is not here to serve my highest good, completely and totally now and forever. And doing that in a, you know, in a physically dynamic, masculine warrior, yang kind of a way, to really bring it into the flesh, is very, very, very important, to really ground it into this physical world. And then your trust and your surrender, like I was saying, is just your constant default that you're nurturing, 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 nurturing all the time with that, you know, that feminine, tenderness and receptivity and beauty of sensitivity.
Yeah. And, you know, I think the key word here, that Nick didn't say it directly, but behind everything Nick was just saying, is the word proactive. You know, basically most people are passive. They're not aware. They're not commanding anything. You know, it's just kind of like, just allowing random things to happen, the mind just spins out and it's usual nonsense, and it's just like putting up with whatever nonsense happens to be there. And most of the world, most situations are kind of a little bit negative, a bit weird, a bit sticky. And if we're not proactive, we get sucked into stuff very easily. We already have enough madness in our heads as it is anyway, to start with, right? So proactive, we have to command what our mind needs to do, what our behavior is. Be honest, you know. So, you know, whether it's in the ways that Nick has just mentioned or in various other ways we've talked about in CBO training, anything Taylor said, you know, there's so many methods. But if you make a decision to yourself that you're, from now on, you're going to be proactive with your mind, proactive with your surrender, proactive with whatever practices do it for you, then everything changes really, really quickly. Even if this is, you know, in a sense, relatively new to you, you might, you know, not compared to us, we've been doing this a long time, but still, you can make huge leaps and bounds in an extremely short amount of time, as long as you make a commitment to be proactive, to claim it, to say, I'm in charge of my life, and I'm going to do whatever I need to do, and I'm going to claim it and do it today, and I'm going to do it over and over and over and over and over again. And when it comes to surrender and letting go of stuff, some people think that, you know, you just surrender once and then, you know, okay, that should be done, right? That's definitely not how it is. There's so many weird negative feelings around, right? So they come up, and then you surrender them, and then they come up again, and you surrender them again, and they come up again, and you surrender them again, and they come up again, and you surrender them again. And it might not be obvious that there's anything going on here right away, but there is. And so you have to have the faith, the nishchay, and the patience and tenacity to just keep doing it anyway, because after a while, there's not much left. Yeah, you start to find there's this. This is what my experience is, that basically underneath all negative feelings, underneath every single, like, anger, stress, worry, fear, anxiety, whatever, underneath it is actually bubbling joy. There's this, like, intense joy just bubbling away so nicely. And anytime I feel negativity, if I'm willing to just, like, look at it and say, what is this, and just be with it for a little bit, and just allow that to ease its way out nice and gracefully, just easy, easy, easy. After a while, it might take 1 second, it might take a minute, it might take 10 minutes, it might take longer, right? But after a while, it starts to sort of disintegrate, like it's evaporating. And then underneath, there's this like bubbling furnace of joy, just bubbling away like this golden light, just like a cauldron full of joy bubbling away nicely with inside of each of us, underneath everything. And that's basically who we are, is this bubbling, lovely, peaceful, beautiful being that's just bubbling away beautifully. But we don't feel that experience. We don't feel it hardcore unless we're just willing to let go of those superficial emotional experiences that are just on the superficial top layers of life. So any of you listening to this who, you know, you've been letting go, you've been practicing, you've been doing all this stuff, and you might think there's a way to go, keep doing it, keep doing it. Be willing to face yourself and feel your feelings fully. Yeah, don't run away from yourself. Stay with yourself. And you realize after a while that you are extremely joyful. You have so much joy, it's just a little bit underneath the surface.
It's just incredible to know, though, that how much, like, how deep it goes. Because, I mean, this is not an overnight fix. This is something we've got to willingly be committed to clearing. And, I mean, it probably never will be 100% cleared, which is fine because it keeps you on track. So, I mean, I don't really have any problems with that, but it's just incredible because if you would have told me before I started the training, that it was going to be so much to clear, would not have known, would not have believed you. But like I said, going through just the first few weeks of this training, my God, it's going to be incredible to see what else is coming up in the future weeks. Whilst I'm still working on this as well, it's going to be probably the best waves that you'd ever surface in your life. So thank you, thank you, thank you to all of you. Love and blessings.
Yay.
Yay. You're so welcome, brother. We're looking forward to hearing your latest and greatest. And, you know, I just want to just circle back to what you said at the beginning real quick, you know, when it comes to meeting people, social situations. I made a commitment to myself because I've always kind of like in my past, I've been a bit shy, you know, I don't want to like talk to people. And I made a commitment to myself years ago now, I must have been at least, I don't know, like 15, 20 years ago or something, that whenever I have a feeling, to talk to somebody, that I should just do it anyway, even if I feel some resistance, yeah? Because I used to not do it. And I've made the best friends ever. I've met so many cool people when I've just kind of just said, just like, done it anyway, you know. And oftentimes I just literally go up to them and say, I don't know what it is, but I've got this feeling I need to talk to you. And they're like, oh, all right. I mean, that's part of the conversation. And then, you know, you're off, and then, you know, I end up, some of these people, I know them, like, years and years later. You know? So if you make a commitment to yourself to do it, then, you know, you just do it. And off you go.
And these are the, I'm glad I did, scenarios, too, because once you've done it, you're better than the, oh, I wish I had.
Exactly.
Then you'd never move forward.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
And then, yeah, and then there's something, you know, yeah, there you go. No more of that. Thank you, brother. I'm looking forward to hearing more about that.
Yay.
Well, we have lost a lot of people on the call today. If any of you would love to share something, say hello. Press star 2. We'd love to hear from you. I just got a message from Crystal. She says, Wes is here with me again. He was very inspired by the last call. He's excited to get into meditation practice and yoga practice, and he says, hello.
Awesome.
Hello,
hey, brother.
Yay. So it's giving you blessings. We talked to Wes a lot last week. Very excited about his latest breakthroughs. Sure, he's with Crystal, both of them super powerful souls. We're very excited to see what you create together. So if anyone wants to say hello, just press star 2 on your telephone.
Oh, that was lovely what you were saying about the joy underneath everything, bro. I really appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, it's just bubbling away nicely. Yeah, I think it's, like, the other day, you know, like, the other day, like, I was lying in bed, and I was feeling this really strong feeling, and I was like, what is it that I'm actually feeling here? Because it was, you know, it was so intense, I was trying to, like, resist it a little bit initially. So I just got laid with it long enough, and I was just like, what is it? You know, it's open to just, like, experiencing. And I noticed that it was just, like, intense joy and sort of excitement as well. It's, like, intense feeling, you know, and I thought, fantastic. I mean, it's always there. It's just, like, I don't notice it. And then just as that happened, I got a phone call from some people who are going to rent us this really sweet house in the middle of, like, best spot in Sedona with, like, these amazing views, like, totally in the jungle. And I was just, you know, just all these magical synchronicities. And I think it's just a matter of being willing to feel fully, really. Ah, the cauldron of joy, the bubbling box of joy is bubbling away. We have Fatima from Portugal in the middle of the morning, middle of the night. Aloha, sister. How are you doing?
Aloha, Michael. How are you?
Wonderful. How are you?
I am more than wonderful. I'm feeling amazing these days. Beautiful days. These days I've been a lot, I don't know. Everything you say, it's happening. We are feeling it. And sometimes it's okay, just go, and things will happen. So, everything is amazing. I just wanted to, the last call, when you were talking about, just don't worry about what people think and do, and be you. I guess you just answered a lot of my questions because this month I'm starting to be in front of people and public speaking, giving a few courses that I have in mind for a few years, And I am a shy person also, and I knew I had to do it. I knew I was going to do it, and I was shaking so much. Okay, how the hell I'm gonna do it? But and when we were talking a while ago, it just felt so clear, so easy. Just do, and okay, things will happen. So I just wanted to tell you that.
Yeah, you know, there's normally like deeper down, we all know what we need to do, really. Yeah, everyone knows, really. But what we tend to do is suppress ourselves because of, you know, cultural programming or fear or blah, whatever it is. And it takes a huge amount of energy, actually, to suppress ourselves. To not say something or to not do something that's coming forward is like really stressful. Stop it. And most people are just like these bottled up, massively suppressed, super trapped, you know, beings, because they're just constantly like it's about to blow up. You know, you can feel it. But when you're willing to just like let go and just allow that to come through, whatever it is, you know, you just feel so much better. And all these projects and ideas and all these great stuff we're talking about, you'll just witness it all emerging somehow. And it's, for me, it's one of my most interesting, fascinating things ever. It's just I watch all these books being written through me and all this stuff happening, and I'm always, literally, I just don't know what's going on. I have no idea what the hell's going on at all. And it's great fun to not have a clue, and at the same time, not have any idea, and at the same time, watch wonderful things happening. So, it seems like you're already in that direction. Just do more of it, you know. Go deeper.
Yeah. Well, I want to talk about something. I just these days I'm reading. I'm absolutely. This is so wonderful. I'm reading The Gene Keys, and this book is so full of I don't know. Messages, and this is new, but it is not new. And can you talk about these things? How can we? Because this is a big book from Richard Rudd, and how can we start applying all this knowledge? Because this is massive knowledge. How can we start applying this?
I don't know. I haven't read The Gene Keys, so I really have nothing to say about it. So I don't know what it is. But I think Nick has.
Yeah, what's the question?
She's been reading The Gene Keys, and she's wondering like how that could be apply, what's the practical, you know, how to...
Okay, well, Gene Key is basically born out of human design. It's like a little more sophisticated and specific. And, you know, it's extremely complex if you vibe with it. Like I did, I just had a big door of resonance open up with it, and so I really got the download and understood it very deeply, you know, pretty swiftly. So I've been doing, you know, Gene Keys readings as part of just understanding, you know, the clients that I'm dealing with and where there's, you know, where their, you know, specific keynotes and wounds are and stuff. But it's, you know, it,
it's like it can be like a little distraction kind of thing. If you're if like you take it on as a study, it's going to be, you know, if you're not fully resonant and it doesn't really click straight away, it's going to be a long time. Yeah, it can be years of studying that stuff. It's extremely complex. But basically, if you consider, if we just consider the soul or the psyche as a snowflake, each of us has an individual, you know, specific what the shamans call a secret spiritual signature. And there's a beautiful quote from a guy called Martin Prechtel from The Secrets of the Talking Jaguar. The Secrets of the Talking Jaguar. Anyone that's interested in any kind of shamanic approach to life remotely should read that book. It's absolutely breathtaking, beautiful story. And in it he says that for there to be a world at all, you know, he wrote this a few years ago, for us to, you know, survive in terms of healthy future, every single one of us needs to, every single soul needs to start singing its own song and manifesting its own secret spiritual signature. In other words, really being yourself. And when we were talking to, you know, the brother before you on the call, was talking about that, you know, coming from the ground of your being, going deep into yourself, and navigating with exquisite sensitivity there, so that you really, you know your own, you know your own inner being. You navigate that inner being through the intricacies and the complexities. Well, what you're doing is you're, you know, you're coming to know yourself as that snowflake, that intricate configuration of consciousness that is yours and yours alone. And what the gene keys does is it gives a kind of an intricate map as to how that snowflake interfaces with this world through your personality and through the different ways that you express yourself in terms of love and relationships, the way you feel life, your vocation in life, your kind of like your purpose in life, and lots and lots and lots of other ways. And it does that in you know, through a calculation based on an astrological configuration at the exact time you were born, and then 9 months before that when you were at the exact moment when you were conceived, and also the I Ching. So it's a very sophisticated, precise system that gives a tremendous amount of detail about you. But because the thing is so complex, you know, it requires someone who can actually read the thing, you know, to give a kind of like an accurate interpretation of your gene keys. And unfortunately, there's only one guy who can do that, and that's Richard Rudd, the English guy that kind of birthed it all. So
good luck to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, a lot of this stuff. Sorry, bro. Just a lot of this stuff is fantastic if you're at the level to understand what he means easily, like Nick is, because he's been, you know, doing this stuff for so long. Otherwise, it can literally be quite a long-winded distraction if you're not careful, and it might not yield the result you're looking for quickly. So you have to kind of, you know, tune into whether it's worth the investment of time and energy compared to
the information that you're gleaning from any of these systems is it's kind of like stepping, like you have a living truth that you can navigate through your own feeling and your own intimacy and your own consciousness, your own inner exploration, and that can happen very, very swiftly. If you try and articulate that and write the details of all the subtle nuances of these different facets of your being into a book, you're going to come up with a very long-winded thing that, you know, is full of words and concepts that people can understand. So it steps down the voltage of the, you know, of the truth. So what we are encouraged, obviously, in superhero training is, you know, not too much emphasis on these systems. We honor them, and they have their place. They're useful, like human design and all of these things, gene keys, the Enneagram, and, you know, astrology and all kinds of different, you know, different things. They all have their place. But the main thing is for us to navigate through our own intricacies and our own subtleties with our own feelings. And it's through that almost sublime experience that transcends all you know, efforts to translate it into words. That's the thing that we're really after, and that's just an experience that we can integrate as a full body, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual integrated experience, so that we actually, you know, become these transformed versions of ourselves, rather than, you know, very wise, you know, kind of heady, very knowledgeable, and, you know, more of a mental approach to it all.
Nick, can I ask you something? I just bought this book a few days ago, and this is happening to me for the last month with everything. I'm not stuck in the book. I think I don't have to know everything that is in there. I just open the book, and seems that something is talking to me and giving me tools to move this way, that way, and it just feels right inside. I just understand. I don't have to think about it. It's so natural. Every book I pick is telling me something, and it's another piece of a puzzle. And so the gene keys, I'm not trying to have a lot of information. No, it just seems that I open it and it talks to me and say, this is you, you go there, and feels right, and I move. It seems like the books are talking to me like that. Not a lot of information. I'm not in there. I don't want a lot of information. It seems like voices guiding me, go, and it feels right. I just feel it's right. Open it, it's talking to you, and I close it, and I'm going. So, is this right? Is this right? I don't know. I just want to open it, and I want to close it. I know.
Well, you know what, Fatima? I don't think you should. Get into, you know, like asking me, is that right, you know, or anyone. If it feels right to you, it's right. You know, please don't do that, you know. It's kind of like, it's like a little prostituting, giving you power away. Like, what if
yes.
I say, no, Fatima, it's not right. Put that book down. Leave
yes.
it alone.
I'm getting rid of my prostitute side.
Yeah,
it's
get rid of that thing, Fatima. It doesn't suit you anymore. It's an old thing. But the best thing of
yeah.
the best when you're reading anything, and this is for anyone, when you're reading anything, you know, when you've come to when you're really on your path, when it just kind of confirms what you're already feeling, yeah? Like you're feeling it before you read it. You can open a book and you kind of get a little confirmation from that. And you can feel its confirmation because you already knew it, kind of thing, yeah? That's a really nice place to be. So trust your instincts, Fatima. You're doing great. And it sounds like you've got a perfect balance. You're just using these things as a little guidance, and perfectly appropriately, and keep doing
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and it could be another book, you know, once that one, maybe in a, you know, a few months, you pick up another book and it kind of has the same sort of effect of clarity. Because remember, all books in a way are dead, in a sense. You bring them back to life when you look at them. You interpret the words. All the power is in you. You pick it up and you look at it and it comes, you know, you bring it to life. So just remember there's an intimate relationship between you and everything that you read or everything that you absorb based on you. And if you look at that same book in maybe 10 years from now, you might feel totally different about it and you might take you off track or something. You might feel it takes you off track or whatever, but it's a relationship you're having. So if it's feeling good, then good for you.
Yeah.
I'd like to hear what Taylor's got to say about this, actually, because I know Taylor's pretty hardcore about these sort of things.
Taylor's gone quiet. I think she's reading or something.
She's reading a book.
She's reading. What are you reading at the moment, Taylor?
She's immersed in her book. So, well, I'm sure she'll when she's finished with the chapter, she'll come back and tell us all about it. Sorry for bothering you, Taylor. You know, really apologize for that. You know how it is in your reading. So, anyway, Fatima, you're going to have a good laugh with this, and, you know, it sounds like you're totally on point, frankly, and just you don't need to ask any of us whether something's right or not. You can. We're encouraging you to be self-master, self-sovereign. And not many people are, and it's a big, 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 big shift, yeah, and it's very unusual for anyone to have that self-sovereignty, so you're moving into it.
When I'm asking you if it's right, it's not a question, it's almost like a need to share, because I still don't have a lot of people to talk about these things. They are starting to appear in my life, but not a lot of people. So I'm asking for me, not you. Really, it's for me. Because I'm feeling so much things are coming, so many insights every day. When I'm walking at sunrise by the river or at the beach, or there's so much things coming, downloading from up there, that sometimes I still, not too much, but I still get confused if it is my imagination or if I'm a bit crazy or if I'm thinking that, I think I know everything. But sometimes I just feel that I have all the answers coming up at the same time. And I look at people and everyone is telling me, why do you know all the answers? We don't know, and you look at us and you know it, and I take a step back. I don't know everything. And people are telling me, you always know all the answers. What the hell do you think you are? And I get stuck in that question. Who the hell I think I am? I don't know. So it's just 1 month. I've been in superhero training for 3 months, but this is happening for a month. And I'm going to give the courses. I know I have so much amazing things to teach people, but sometimes my mind, this stuff about the mind that always blocks everything, in the way of just flowing with everything that I think I'm receiving. And it's very intuitive. But the imagination, is it imagination? Is it not? Can you trust this? Those doubts are coming and it keeps blocking me a bit. So,
yeah.
This is the process these days.
We're doing great, Fatima. It's lovely to hear your voice, and I can remember when the very first call you came on, and you're doing great, love. Huge respect for you, sister. You're holding a big, amazing space over there in Portugal. And it's just going to get better and better and better for you. You wait. Just keep breathing, 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 doing lots of breathing.
Yeah, Fatima is just fantastic. She's been doing these 21-day challenges, and she's totally been nailing it. So very impressive.
Wonderful.
So we look forward to hearing from her again, of course, next time. Anyone else who would love to say hello, ask any questions? And remember, you know, we're not going to give you a hard time for asking a question. We're just obviously here to empower you. All right, so we have, I believe, is this Carol?
It is. Hello.
Aloha, Carol. How are you
doing? I'm doing good.
Yeah.
Lots of, you know, lots of shifts. Of course, the call is touching on so many things that I, you know, have enough questions about, but wanted to share also. I'm going on Friday to do a medicine bag making workshop at this big music festival. And I've been working with this idea. You know, what really comes to me when I work with this is the traditional medicine bag and medicine man and the guru, and how that is completely dissolving. And so when I do this work, I really have people try to, you know, tap into their own medicine. And what's been coming up with me sort of preparing for this is a lot of mirror work and really doing it with myself and just really sitting in the mirror and just really looking deeply into my own eyes and really loving myself. And like the word harmony keeps coming up. And then one of the things that's been happening with me with this is actually like the flower of life appearing, you know, as I'm like in this mirror meditation. So I want to kind of take this to the workshop and maybe bring mirrors, you know, do some grounding work, do some maybe guided, you know, in your body meditation, really getting, helping people to just tap into this love of themselves and how to find their own medicine, how to really find, you know, what they're here for. But it's like the shift of this away from, you know, you needed to go to the medicine man before to find it. Now you can find it yourself.
That sounds good. That sounds good. That's the direction. And, you know, the medicine bag, it's an ancient ceremony, and I'm sure the original medicine bag intention was to do exactly that, what you're bringing into, you know, it sounds like it's coming back full circle. And as far as the mirror work goes, mirror work's wonderful. And, you know, you can practice, you know, looking with love and compassion and ho'oponopono. You can practice being soul conscious in the mirror. Just like the basic, practical guidelines for that is kind of go to, the center of your own brain behind your eyes. And then just kind of look up within, smiling a golden inner smile. You always want to be smiling a golden inner smile. If you're not smiling, if you're frowning, or, you know, your jaws locked together, you know, gripping your teeth and stuff, the tension patterns, you're in a withholding pattern, and the chemicals, the hormones, the endorphins and whatnot can't be released in your brain to give you that golden brain experience and really allow you to and experience these higher states of consciousness and the joy that's below everything that Mike was talking about before. So go to the center of the brain, smile the golden inner smile, focus on a point of light and kind of smile and look up within. And then, just beaming compassion towards yourself. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I love you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That's the nuts and bolts of compassion, superhero training style in the frequency of ho'oponopono. And then, you know, you're going to witness, in the mirror what you're going to witness. And for everyone, that's different. You can see all kinds of soul faces and, the whole face can disappear and turn into light, and all of these things are, you know, I've experienced all these things multiple times over the year. And as far as seeing, you know, the flower of the light, flower of life, and anything like that, all you're basically seeing is just the energetic structure of the matrix that we're living in. All of this form in this world, you know, just like a house. You know, if the builders come to build the house and all the bricks and cement and everything's there, but there's no blueprint, there's no design, you know, an architect hasn't designed a blueprint, a schematic for them to follow, then nobody knows what they're doing. And it's just the same with creation. There is a gridwork in creation that energy flows down this gridwork and forms are able to, manifest off this grid. And it is a geometric pattern. It's not a secret, yeah, and it's quote unquote sacred geometry. And a lot of the new agey types, you know, get very hysterical about sacred geometry, and you've got guys like Dronvalo and Melchizedek who have been, you know, built a whole career on going around the world and holding this thing up as if it's something sacred that needs to be worshipped in one way or another, and that if we, you know, simply focus on geometry, this is going to, like, you know, provide us with some vehicle for our salvation or something, which, of course, you know, he's changed his tack on massively of late. And, you know, as most of the, you know, these old school luminaries in the new age, you know, testify, and, you know, that in and of itself is no way to salvation whatsoever. It's just, we're just looking at the blueprints of the house, you know, this thing that we're actually living in. So it's a wonderful thing, but don't get, bogged down on it, and certainly don't get worshipping it in any way, shape, or form. If you see it, it's just another wonder of part of the wonder of life. But a lot of people are really, really, really get sidetracked with this sacred geometry thing, and, you know, they really get into it. I mean, I'm over here in Bali, and everywhere you go, there's sacred geometry. There's people designing these things that you hang in your house, and there's people building.
Yeah, I'm literally lying underneath one now, right now. Like, I'm in a friend's house, and there's this big, like, pyramid. Yeah, I'm literally, it's just my friend's house. And it's got this gold, it's got the flower of life, and there's a pyramid, and there's another one over there, and there's a huge pyramid out in the garden. And, it's quite amusing, actually. But, I mean, I can't see any harm in it, but I don't think it, you know, certainly.
Well, there's no harm in
thing.
It in and of itself unless,
exactly.
you put it onto the top of the altar and start, you know, prostrating yourself before it and associating it with something, you know. Because the thing is,
exactly.
We are formless. We're boundless and free. Our spiritual essence is boundless and free. And we experience ourselves as a being of perfect love, of perfect peace, of absolute illumination, and we're boundless and free. And the forms, the structures and the forms, seduce us and trap us into, these painful karmic cycles that will, you know, that repeat themselves ad infinitum. And when you really come into a full embrace of who you are, you're really beyond all that, and you see where its place is, and you appreciate it for its the opportunity that it gives us for choice and for having to really own our power and not prostitute ourselves in any way, shape, or form to these things. And it's wonderful for providing structure for, you know, creation in 3D that needs, you know, physical form, needs schematics and blueprints. But there's, you know, in an infinite and eternal, eternal infinite possibilities, there are realms that, you know, that just don't need these geometries. And the fascinating thing about it, and like I say, I'm really hooked up over here with some amazing people who have deep, deep, deep understanding. We had this amazing conversation the other night with, one of the doctors here, a really good friend of mine. And what he was sharing was basically the geometries of the Fibonacci spiral, which is the basis, the mathematical basis of all of this geometry. It's not an infinite, energy system. It's a finite energy system that basically, runs out, sooner or later. And, I found that fascinating. And, a guy called, I think it's Dan Winters, I saw a book of his ones, and he's really into geometry. And interestingly enough, he mapped with a waveform on the mathematical frequency, the mathematical interpretation of the frequency of joy. So don't ask me how they turn a frequency of joy into a mathematical wave, geometric wave, but that's what he did. And what he said was that the frequency of joy, the geometry of the mathematics of the frequency of joy, is a infinite wave. It's a waveform that will keep feeding. As it breaks, it will feed into itself and give itself more life. Yeah. So it's the perpetual wave is the frequency of joy, which I thought was a wonderful, wonderful thing. And that the math of that and the geometry of that is not the same as the Fibonacci spiral based geometric ratios, which is the foundation of all the sacred, so-called sacred geometry. You know, all of these you know, shapes with lines, they're linear shapes, they're, you know, tetrahedrons, star tetrahedrons, dodecahedrons, all this stuff. So there's a real distinction there between that, between those two.
Yeah, well, that's very helpful, because I think part of why this is all coming up is because at these music festivals now with all these young kids, it's all these platonic forms. It's just all
absolutely
these,
yeah.
You know, it's everywhere. It's almost like a security blanket, or they're worshiping on some level, and so that's really helpful.
Yeah, and they're tripping. You know, a lot of the psychedelics. You know, they're seeing all these forms, and you know these forms will. You know, they have. I mean, we can really get into this. You know, I've done a lot of study on this, and you know, my main, you know, kind of like position in the team for a long time has been just understanding how the matrix, how the control grid is, how it functions, and one of the ways it does it through these geometries, and when you get out of this world. You can go into realms of, you know, fabulous geometry. And there are, you know, everything in terms of occult, manipulation of energy involves geometry. Washington, D.C. is, the whole city of D.C. is gridded out on sacred geometric principles. It is, you know, it's really obvious, you know, there's creation, the energies of creation are flowing into this world, and they are, they're the energy to, inspire and fuel, an eternal and an infinite creation.
once that energy is being tapped and diverted into finite forms, geometric structures and templates and grids that are, you know, they don't last, then all of that energy is flowing down there, and because it's, you know, it basically leads away from joy, because the joy is, it's an infinite vibration and geometry. So a lot of the drugs that people are taking are giving them experiences of these other realms and these forms that the matrix itself will take and even communicate to you, visit you in dreams, communicate to you. And it's just a fascinating. You know, it's something a little out of the bound, you know, beyond regular mathematics and whatnot, and because, you know, people see it when they're on acid or magic mushrooms or something like that. But it's nothing to be, it's nothing. Consciousness is master over it all. And so if you're seeing these forms, you can ask to see what's behind them. You can, I posted on the Superhero Facebook thing, experience a little while ago by a guy called, I think his name's Neil Benedict Thomas. And he had experiences in there amongst, he went through all kinds of different realms. And one of the ones he went through was, you know, basically, geometries approaching him and him, you know, being able to communicate with these geometries and saying, stop, you know, I want to see what's behind this. I want you to reveal your true form and, you know, what's beyond this. And so this was all a demonstration of consciousness being master of form, all form. Consciousness is master of all form. And because, life itself, all of this form, all of these geometries and whatnot are superimposed on a formless creation, and that's the natural creation. We can speak to life itself, and we can ask for all forms to reveal themselves in their true nature. And we know this is a recurring theme on the warriors, on the hero's journey, is this meeting with illusion and deception over and over and over. For example, in the Mahabharata, the story of Rama and Sita, the king and the queen and the golden age of the golden age, the personifications of the masculine and feminine divinity in the human world. Sita, the queen, is enchanted by a young white deer in the woods, and she goes deeper into the forest, and this beautiful white innocent gorgeous creature turns into the devil itself. Ravana grabs her and absconds with her and takes her off, and, you know, locks her up with all his demons. And then Hanuman, the monkey king of the monkeys, the monkey god, who represents single-hearted devotion to God and immense heart strength, he was the only one that could rescue her and bring her back. And so what that is a mythological communication to the heroes on the hero's journey, to the warriors on the spiritual path, to be aware that there is subterfuge and deception in this world, and that there are two forces that work together in this Hindu perspective. One of them is Maya, which is this illusory nature of the matrix, which where something can look extremely attractive to you all of a sudden, even though it might be really bad for you. You can really feel like super strong urges and impulses because it looks so appealing and is magnetizing you towards it. And then the other aspect is the devil itself, which is, you know, a in that model, it's a blend of ego
anger, lust, greed, and attachment. And those, the combination of all of those factors together will absolutely capture your soul and your consciousness and take you off into, you know, these kind of experiences where you're faced with, you know, monsters and tribulation and, you know, extreme trials, and you can be, you know, jailed in, you know, quote unquote in jail for years and years and years in a dungeon somewhere in a foreign land. You know, these are all, metaphors, mythological archetypal images of how we can be seduced and then imprisoned, trapped into something for a long time. And of course, this can last for lifetimes and cycles of, you know, vast cycles of time. Whole worlds can be, that prison. For instance, you know, there's a, you know, this whole world that we're living in, the Matrix, there's a lot of information out there to suggest that this is some, that there is a reality that is kind of a prison, and consciousness is trapped in that and, forced into being in a low, frequencies of emotion and thought to feed the Matrix itself with its low vibratory hum. Gerald O'Donnell has done a lot to expose this from his perspective. David Icke, Michael Tsarion, there's a whole list of guys that have done a tremendous amount of research into this. The shamans knew all about this. So our thing is to be...
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, I was going to say that this shift that I'm feeling feels like a shift of that a little bit. And this work that I think I'm supposed to do, or that I'm doing, is to help people actually see this different level of love. And it's really by looking back at their own reflection.
So you're doing it. You know, you're feeling the feelings just like Fatima's feeling and being guided by, you know, what she is. And we all are in our own unique way. So just trust it and keep going with it. And just be aware that, you know, you're navigating through, you know, some, you know, there's two paths. One of them's going to, you know, lead people to being trapped. And a lot of people are, you know, have got one foot on that path already. And you're probably in a position where you can just, you know, coax them into something where there's a lot more freedom and joy and really what they're looking for.
Right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You know, it just reminds me of this quote. I was trying to find the exact quote, but I couldn't find it. Basically, I think it's a Leonardo da Vinci quote, someone like that, or Michelangelo. He basically says there's two kinds of people. There are those who go into nature and experience it directly, and then there are those who have only experienced it by hearing about it from those who went there. Yeah? And we need to be the first kind. We need to go out and experience all these things ourselves and be willing to experience them, you know, when it comes to higher consciousness or peace and bless, or, you know, because unless we go out and actually experience it, we just know about things rather than the thing. So, and when it comes to you and your work, the more you go and experience things directly, the more you're going to be able to serve others.
Yeah, in the last few days, I've just had to be outside since Monday, like with my feet on the ground, you know, for hours. I just have to be there. And then I find myself too, just, I was raised Catholic, so I have all those prayers in me, but for me, the Hail Mary, and like Mary's presence is just so strong right now. And like sort of looking into that story, it's kind of interesting how she, you know, when Jesus turned water into wine, it was Mary that was asked, you know, that asked for him to do that, that asked for that first miracle. It's just some sharing.
That's beautiful. You might want to check a little bit into Patricia Cota Robles.
Okay.
Patricia Cota Robles. Patricia Cota, C-O-T-A, Robles, R-O-B-L-E-S.
Yeah, Patricia Cota Robles.
And just look and do a little research on Our Lady of Fatima and the Virgin of Guadalupe, where Mother Mary appeared twice to, you know, some very poor and you know, super grassroots people. Shepherd, a shepherd in Mexico near Guadalupe and the children in Fatima in Portugal. And that's the divine feminine, you know, the mother divine feminine wisdom and love coming through into the Roman Catholic control system through, you know, not coming through the church, not coming through the, you know, the Vatican and political realm, but coming through the grassroots of the connection with the people in a manifest, you know, in a manifest form. And what the significance of that is, and Patricia Cota Robles has some real insight into that, and I think you'll really enjoy that.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you guys so much for all this time.
Yay!
You're
bless
so
you
welcome. Heart. Yeah, well done for doing all the stuff you're doing now. It's great.
Yeah.
I know.
Send a photograph of your medicine bag.
Okay, I will.
Yeah, post it on the Facebook thing. Yeah, it's always, you know, because we create all these courses and programs and help people, and it's just what we love to do. And then it's just so joyful for us to see what you do, you know. And there's just so much. I almost feel kind of almost overwhelmed by the amount of cool things everyone's doing. So, thank you, Carol.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Hopefully the rain will hold off a little bit. A little hurricane heading our way, so. But
I'm sure you'll be fine.
Yeah, the promoters. The show must go on, they say.
The show must go on.
Well,
if it is raining,
uh-huh. You can always stop the rain. Me and
I know.
I've done that a bunch of times. You know, when you've got a bunch of people there, and you just ask them if they want to slow the rain down or stop the rain. And I've done this in absolute torrential, raging thunderous downpour in Canada when me and David Wolf were on stage, and we spoke all day, and that day got transcribed, and that became the foundation for the book Amazing Grace. And the day it happened, this is no word of a lie. Absolute truth. The day it happened, we were in this thunderous, absolute, torrential, raging downpour. And I stood up and said, you want to slow the rain down? Because no one could hear us speaking. We had mics. No one could hear us speaking at all. It was that loud. And they all said, yeah. So I got them to stand up. And I did was have them put their hands on their hearts and just be slow rain. Be slow rain. That's all I said. You can hear it on an... We used to have those audio files on the old successultranow.com website. God knows where they are now. But you can hear it virtually instantaneously. The rain responds and stops, or it slows way down. And then you can hear that, you can feel this ripple of people getting confused. Did we actually do that? Was it a coincidence? And in the doubt, it starts thundering down again, like roaring, thundering down. And then I told them they were doubting, yeah, just, you know, be slow rain. And everybody just settled into it. And within 30 seconds, the whole thing had completely stopped. And it was just drips of just the most perfect grace that you could feel and hear on this audio recording. And then we carried on speaking. And we spoke for another hour, a couple hours. And these clouds, these were huge clouds, like right above us. The clouds didn't go away. It just like totally freaking stayed there, just like ready to bomb. And a couple hours, an hour and a half later, David Wolf was speaking, and it started again and came really thundering down. And I stood up and said, should we slow the rain down again? And they all said, yeah. And we did it again. and we got it on the audio file. Like I said, we used to have that posted on successultranow.com, and that was the day of Amazing Grace was born, that book. So, you know, consciousness commands form. Creation responds to what we want it to do. And it's good to test these things out.